Well, I think we're supposed to start. 2:50, I'm already a few minutes late. Patience, right? That's what you've been wanting. I thought it was 5 minutes till. But that's okay. We'll still get out at the same time. I'm glad you're here. This is my third session of the day, and it's the smallest session. And so I'll quit at about 5 minutes before, and if you have any questions. But let's take our Bibles and open them up to the book of Hebrews. And I gave you some sheets. We're not going to go through all of these verses. We'll just go with the verses that I have on my notes here. And I do have some notes. I do. Good. Otherwise, we may never get out of here. Somebody asked one time, well, you know, if I needed you to speak, how long would it take you to be ready? He says, I'm ready. He says, if you can only speak for 10 minutes, how long would it take? Probably an hour to get ready, you know, trying to concise everything. But before we start, let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee now and we want to thank you for the good day that we've had. And Lord, continue to bless within this hour and all the workshops, and bless the choir as they're practicing, and help Brother Wilkerson as he delivers the closing message in a little while. And then, Lord, give all of us safety as we go home, and may we put into work, the things that we have learned today, that you'd be honored and glorified in all things. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're going to see in a number of these verses that we're going to look at today where God is emphasizing that we need patience. Now, of course, when we talk about needing patience, or, oh, don't pray for patience because you're just going to have some troubles, you know, because that verse in the book of James, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And when we think of patience, it's always something that goes wrong, something that we could do without. But God doesn't see it that way. I teach our church folks. I've been the pastor of the same church for 39 years. It's the only church I've pastored. I was saved while I was in the Marine Corps, went to college and graduate school in Wisconsin, moved here in 1986. And I'm on the other side of the state. In a half hour, I could be in Michigan, or in a half hour, I could be in Ohio. And so I'm up there in that northeast corner, and pastoring the same church for 39 years. And you have good times, you have bad times, you have plateau times, and you know, in all of those times, you have patience. You know, you need patience. When you have a bigger crowd, you plan, and when everything go perfect, and I always tell my wife, honey, the Lord has a sense of humor. You know, there's always like one thing that goes awry, you know. But I hope you'll see by the end of this lesson that we're supposed to have patience. And I only came up for my time limit only with 4 points. And you say, what does that mean? Nothing. Just wanted to let you know. 4 points. But look at the text verse. And you'll see this in many places. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. Are you ready? For ye have need of patience. Now here's God telling us through his word, we have need of patience. Now look how. After that ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's sort of good. Could go down with point number 4 if you wanted to write that down with that. But, you know, my fourth point is having patience with the Lord. Now, before you hang me up as a heretic or something, wait till I get to that point, okay? And then at the end, if you want to hang me up as a heretic, you can. But how, as believers, should we have patience? Well, if you look on your list here, maybe this will save us some time from turning. I should have Ephesians on here in one of these. This is the wrong one. There we go. Otherwise, I'll turn there. We'll find here on the back. I don't have it on this page. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. When we need patience and perfecting patience, look at Ephesians chapter 4. And what we want to do is see what God has to say concerning having patience with others. Having patience with what I like to put, other people's flaws. And in Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning at verse number 1, Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. I mean, basically, verse number 2 is telling us we need to be patient with people. Not everybody is as mature as you are. I experienced out in Hawaii, my wife went, that's not me, is it? Nope. Okay. My wife went out doing a follow-up call on a young woman. We were in the Marines out there, and she came to our church, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. And my wife's more of a silent partner, praying partner, you know. And they went to this on base housing, Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station. And the young lady invited her in, invited them in. And Mary Jo walked right over to the radio station, turned it off, and said, you shouldn't be listening to that junk. Now, she was only in our church a few days ago on a Sunday. Now, it wasn't a good radio station. My wife just said it was a rock station. You know, when I got saved, I listened to that type of music. I got saved in 1975. I had on the floor, you know how big LP albums are coming back? Probably from the doorway to here, of all different types. I grew up by Detroit, Saginaw, Michigan, so I had soul music there. And I had rock music there. And I did have some country music there. When the people who came in and led me to the Lord, they didn't say one thing about that. We went up to the kitchen table. We lived in a mobile home. I had liquor bottles up there. I had ashtrays. If they would have said anything, you know what I would have done? Get out. But they had some patience. They were more concerned about introducing me to the Savior. And even after I trusted Christ that night, about 7:30, they never did mention. I used to think I was slick. Had a Buick Wildcat and big old flop-down ashtray. So I wouldn't go to church with my cigarettes in my pocket. I'd smoke one on the way to church. When we turned on the street where the church was, I'd throw that one out, and I'd close the ashtray for the one on the way home. Now, I never knew how bad smokers smelled till I quit smoking. Who do you think I was fooling? I'd go into Grace Baptist Church. I'd be shaking people's hands, and down south, they like to hug. I didn't know better back then, you know. And now I only like to get a hug from one woman. And that's my wife, you know. Take it for what it's worth. And God began convicting me. We just started going to church on Sunday morning, and I had the routine down pat. And God began to convict me about smoking. And I tried to quit on my own. And I could not. One Sunday night, I went forward and I said, "Lord, I don't think smoking is honoring to you. Would you help me to have the victory over it?" Next morning on base, I told some people, I went to the altar and God was going to help me have victory over smoking. So one of my friends came and I told him that. And he was a neutral influence, just an acquaintance. One of my friends came. Now, I had only been saved maybe 3 months, 4 months. And he smoked, and I smoked. And we used to run around together. And the other guy who shared my office smoked. So Morris says, "You got a cigarette?" Taylor says, "Yeah, I got one." And so he flipped one out to Morris. And he flipped one out to me. By that time, I'm a nervous wreck. Did you ever know somebody who smoked? And I mean, I was beating my pencil. Morris came over and took it and broke it and threw it in the trash. He says, "Will you stop that?" I was a nervous wreck. So it was about 10:30 in the morning. I said, "I'll just have one." So I took it. And Taylor lit a match, and I went down to light it. And the first friend who showed up reached down, blew out that match, and he looked at me and says, "I thought you asked God to help you to quit." I broke the cigarette. Morris was upset. He said, "Why didn't you give it back to me?" And you know what? I have not had an urge for a cigarette. Amen. Ever since that time. Amen. God took it right then and there. But I've known Christians that have struggled. And I'd try to give them a testimony and say, well, ask God to take it from you. I couldn't take it from myself. And some of those other things that unsaved people, remember those verses in Corinthians where it talks about the people who weren't living right? And then it says, "And such were some of you, but now you're justified, now you're sanctified. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away." Of course, the King James says, old things pass away, all things become new. And we think it's, but the tense of the verses is all things will pass away and all things will become new. We are a new creature in Christ. And slowly I began to see God changing. So it was about a week and a half. I go back to church, and the man who was involved in leading me to the Lord, I went up to Brother Doug Parkhurst, and I said, "Brother Doug, I haven't had a cigarette." And I mentioned the Sunday. I said, "Oh, praise God, Brother Ron. We've been praying for you that God would help you quit smoking." That's news to me. They never told me. Man, but he was more excited than I was that I wasn't smoking anymore. And then I found out, smokers stink. Their furniture stinks. Their clothes stinks. Are you patient with other people's flaws? They're growing in Christ. We're not all the same. Should your pastor be patient with you because, and I'm using this, quote unquote, because you're not as spiritual as he is? You don't have the faith that he has? No, we're all different. According to the measure of faith each of us have, we need to accept that sometimes people are in the process of growing and let them grow. If you're going to say anything, I had one lady in our church say, well, Pastor, I just told them the truth. Speaking the truth. I said, finish the verse. Would you please? With what?
In love.
Yeah. Sometimes patience can be reflected in love. But listen, if you have a growing church, you're going to have people come and you're going to have patience with them. I saw a picture, and there was this woman who came to church, and she had one side of her head shaved, she had earrings, she had a tank top on, and both her arms were covered in tattoos. And somebody took a picture of her. And you could tell she was listening attentively towards the front. If she came to our church on a normal Sunday, she'd be the only one dressed like that. But you know, she means just as much to the Lord as I did in my Marine uniform. Right? Both needed to be saved. And so sometimes, we want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want those old things to pass away. But sometimes it's a little bit longer. My pastor, he was a California boy, and for him it was completely different than for me. He got saved out there at a camp in California, and it was like Don Camp, used to pastor in Anderson, Indiana here years ago, was the speaker for that week. And it was like when Brother Lawton got saved, God took all that stuff from him instantaneously. He was 17 when he got saved. I was 20 when I got saved. And for me, it took a process of time. But I'm telling you, I had the personality, if they would have come to my house and began to say, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to come to church they were patient with me and allowed me the time to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Colossians chapter 3, look at there, just a few pages over, verse number 12. Notice what it says. Colossians 3, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. But you see the mindset we're supposed to have? I'm glad they were patient with me. And I want to be patient with others as they're growing in Christ. I'm not going to, you know what happened to all those albums? They got burned. Did they get burnt right away? I got rid of the alcohol before I got rid of the albums. But yet, I don't have those albums anymore. They're gone. And we need to be patient. We also need to be patient with those who are still learning. How is it? You know, when we're born again, do you know what God's word describes us as? Babes. Even a 3 or 4 year toddler can beat a babe. But can a 3 or 4 year toddler beat a 6 year old? But the only thing they can do is what my son did to me one time. He bit me. Left teeth mark. You want to know what I did? I bared his arm and left teeth mark. And he cried. And he's crying, and my wife's eyeballs got, honey, you shouldn't have, look what he did to me. I just showed him what it felt like. You know, that solved the biting problem. As far as I can remember, he never bit anybody after that. He never bit his baby brother, his baby sister. They have to grow. I don't know. I try to get people to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Some do. Some don't. I want the people who just come on Sunday morning to feel that this pastor loves them just as much as I love the people who come on Wednesday night. Because I didn't start to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Probably this group and this young gentleman are probably the youngest ones in here. I don't know the lady in the back. I just had my 71st birthday. So think with me of 1975 when I got saved. What normally came on Sunday night at 6 p.m.? Walt Disney. Used to be when you could watch Walt Disney and had good mood. And that was just a family tradition. I mean, growing up, we did that. When my wife and I got married, we did that. And so Pastor Pradat always be talking about, we sure love to have you folks come back tonight. You who just come out on Sunday morning, why don't you come on out for Sunday night? There's nothing really that important. So one Sunday night, we're there about 4. I said, honey, let's go to church tonight. And we've been going to Sunday night church ever since. It's just, you know, from the time I trusted Christ in March, in November, I had orders for Hawaii. So a lot of this transpired in between March 25th to about the middle of November, where God was doing all these things in my life. And I tell people, if we're patient and God does it in their life, it'll be permanent. Because a man convinced against his will
is of the same opinion still.
Correct. And I think sometimes we want our kids do this, but we don't always convince them biblically why we do these things. As long as you're in my house, buddy, you're going to do this. And then what happens when they get of age? Or even those rotten, rebellious teenage years? We even have to be patient with our children and make sure that I do believe the children need to be obedient, but I also believe they need to be taught and explained and let God do some work in their life. People who are still learning. Let's look at Romans 15. Is that on my patience verse? I don't know how I got those got left off. Verse 4. That's not the verse I wanted. It was verse 18. Romans 15 and verse number 18. Let's notice what it says. I sent the lesson in, and then I thought, I'm going to make up some verses, because these are lots of good verses in here about us needing patience. But look at Romans 15 and look at verse 18. Verses 5 through 7, I'm sorry. Notice what it says. One man, that's 14, 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Notice there, the God of patience and receive ye. It's not always easy. Sometimes, you know, my wife, she doesn't always speak her tongue. She bites her tongue. And she bites it so that you can see it. I say, are you holding your tongue? So she says, no, I'm biting it. I said, what did I do? Or she would, yeah. At 71 years of age, my wife still has to be patient with me. I'm not perfect. How many of you are morning people? You get up and you're sick. Me? Stay away from me. Give me an hour and I'll be sociable. I've been that way for as long as I can. She's up, she's dressed, she's doing this. She says, honey, I can accomplish so much that first hour while you're still in bed. And then when you get up, it's like I have to shut down. That's just the way. She's had to be patient with me. I had to be patient. Well, I'm going to look at one more verse and we're going to go to our third point. And this is a good one, the third point. Let's see if I can find it. Somebody look on the sheet. Is Proverbs 15:18 on the sheet? Is it? Would you read it, please? Okay, I got it. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says this. That's not the verse. We'll move on. So sorry. I mailed this in, or I sent the lesson to John, and then I thought, well, I'm going to type up these verses. And somehow, actually, I didn't type them up. A man in our church typed them up for me. And so, we have to be patient with other people's flaws, have to be patient with those still learning. Are you ready for the next one? You have to be patient with yourself. What do I mean? I was teaching on forgiveness earlier, and I was talking about Seven times 70, 490. To them, that was a large number. And so I, evangelistically speaking sometimes, and I tell people, I said, I'm just like Tweety Bird. Sometimes I have to say, should not have done that. Should not have said that. And I go to prayer and I said, now, Lord, I don't know how many times I've asked you to forgive me for this. But I blew it again. I don't think it's ever been 490 times. But I tease our church folks and I say, for the 3,725 times, guess what the Lord had to do again? He had to forgive me. Because if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But let's think of somebody named Peter. Remember, he was willing to die for the Lord. Now, I think as a Marine, anybody who took a sword and cut off the guy's ear, he wasn't swinging it right. Because you could get more damage done if he swung it horizontally. But the Lord, in His grace and mercy, healed the high priest's ear, put it back on. Peter followed afar off. But you remember what the Lord told Peter earlier in that evening? Peter, before the cock crow, you'll deny me thrice. So he did, three times. And I know one of the Gospels says that when the cock crowed, the Lord looked over at him. I often wonder what that look. When the Lord looked at Peter. And then the Bible tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. Uncontrollable crying and weeping and wailing. Peter was heartbroken. 3 days later, the women made their way to the tomb. And the stone was rolled away. And Jesus gave a message for Mary to go tell the apostles. Here it is. And Peter. Why did Peter need that? So we know John and Peter took off running. John got there first, but he didn't go in. Peter, being the man he was, barged right in there, and the tomb was empty. Got back. Resurrection evening, the Lord appeared to them. A few days transpired. And Peter says, after the second Sunday, I'm going fishing. What did the Lord call him to do? To be a servant. To be a preacher. To tell of the resurrection. Oh, the Great Commission of Matthew 28 wasn't given yet, but other portions of Scripture. So Peter was one who heard the call, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. But what did he do? Why do you think he told the disciples, I'm going fishing? And they followed him. And I don't know how many of you folks fish. I fish one time a year when I go up to Canada, looking to see what time I'm supposed to be done. And in that, I hate it if I'm out there fishing and I'm not catching anything and somebody says what the Lord said to them. Hey, have you caught anything? Yeah. We threw them back. That's what my fishing partner does. I just stay quiet. What did the Lord ask the fisherman? Have you caught anything? What time am I supposed to be done? Did you look?
3:35.
3:35. Okay, I will hurry. Throw your nets on the other side. Now, if you're an experienced fisherman and you're not doing very good, you hate it when somebody comes along and tells you how to do it. I think even Peter grumbled a little bit. We fished all night. But of course, they had a big catch of fish. Then what were the questions Peter received? Peter received these questions. Peter? 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 Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. I think Peter still had a problem of forgiving and being patient with himself. He blew it, but he needed some extra encouragement to get going. Now, here's my last one. You have to be patient with the Lord. And the main area that we have to be patient with the Lord is this. Isaiah 40. They that starts with a W. Isn't waiting fun? Lord, when are you going to do it? Lord, I believe you. I don't know. I've prayed this sometimes. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Why? Because, Lord, every day when I go to work, that guy's still there. And Lord, I think he still curses your name just to get at me. And Lord, when are you going to take care of him? You see, a lot of times we think God's not listening and God's not doing anything because we've still got these problems. And we must come to realize when God's timing is slow and his answers are quiet, we wonder what he's up to. We must have some patience. Don't put God in our box. Put us in God's timing. Amen. Still pray about it. Don't lose hope. Be patient. God still has everything under
control.
You believe that?
Amen.
Now, this is the one thing I tell my people. I said, listen, there are some truths you have to grab a hold of while things are good. You get this as a foundation because someday you want to know what's going to happen? There's going to be an earthquake or something and you're going to, but you're standing on the solid rock. Nail these foundations down. Have patience with people. I sure am glad God has patience with me. And if God's having patience with me, you know what I've instructed? I'm to have patience with people. Father, help us to be patient. Follow your example in Christ's name. Amen. We have a few minutes left, about 2 minutes. Anybody have a question that I might be able to answer? Kendallville, Indiana. Yes, that's over on the east side. Half hour I can be in Michigan, and a half hour I could be in Ohio. So, any other questions? Well, thanks. I guess you can be dismissed. Go sit right up front. Don't be any back row Baptists.